It's the small details that matter, and the congruency and the consistency throughout. When we look at these properties, look at every single room, and you'll notice a very equitable experience. It doesn't matter what bedroom you go into our properties. Everybody's getting a great experience. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. We're back with Whiskey Wednesday, my main man, Jake Sheehy.
Yes, sir.
What's up, brother?
Man, blessed. Happy to be here. Great day to be alive.
Great day to be alive. What do we have on the agenda today? I know you teased about design last week. Is that what we're diving into?
We're diving into design again.
Let's do it.
We're going to talk about target audience, if someone should design their own color, indoor versus outdoor spaces, your budgeting, and then how we help our members really advance with the design process. Then at the very end, six family feud style really fast, you know what I'm saying?
We played a little Family Feud. Dude. We got that for Christmas.
Really?
Yeah.
Bro, I love Family Feud. I watch it. Steve Harvey is my favorite.
He is. He's awesome.
I love
him. All right.
All right. Let's do this. It's going to be a fun episode today. All right.
Okay.
We've talked about target audience plenty. I just kind of want to do a quick little recap so people listening can kind of have a better idea of what we're going to be going into right now. Okay. I thought a good way to do this would kind of be doing a little exercise of help me choose my target audience. Help me niche it down. Help me figure out what I would want to do. Yeah. Right. A lot of people already know what target audience is, but let's go through this, right? I want a target audience. I want to target couples.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I should think, okay, well, what's a good location that couples want to go to? Correct me if I'm wrong. And maybe outside the city, they want a little getaway.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe I need a little smaller home, maybe a little small little A-frame, maybe 1-2 bedroom max. And then, okay, well then what kind of couple are they? Are they business people? Are they outdoor people? Okay, so then now I'm kind of choosing my color, my design off these kinds of things, kind of just niching it down more and more and more, right? That's the process.
Yeah, yeah. You start with who am I trying to attract, right? Mm-hmm. And selecting your target audience. When it comes to marketing, riches are in the niches. They always say that. So that's really all you're trying to do. Say, okay, who is this? Who's going to be coming? I can't be everything to everybody. Mm-hmm. That's not the type of business that we're in. And so I just need to say, okay, if it's couples, in your example, mm-hmm. I want to think about locations. You mentioned kind of more of an out of the way, mm-hmm. you know, kind of a getaway, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of an off the beaten path, private type of a getaway.
Right.
Urban couples like to go to the city, right? And so you could have a couple's getaway in the city with, you know, townhome, condo, right, close to the action. Mm. When it comes to your target audience, you got to think about, okay, that might be who I'm targeting. Now, what type of an experience am I going to set up?
Mm.
Maybe it is a city experience with a lot of things going on in the action, like going to concerts, going to cultural events, going to different things that happen in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's, I want to just get away, unplug, like relax, have like a really like, you know, more of an intimate, private type of a setting off the beaten path.
Right.
That's so based on your location, does your location lend to that? And so sometimes we select our target audience and then we say, now go figure out your location, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we already have a location or we're trying to identify, should I go after couples? Should I go after adventure seekers? Should I go after family travelers? Should I go after like base camp, multi-generational family travelers? Mm. And so and every area lends itself to many different target audiences. And this is where people struggle a little bit is saying, how do I niche it down? And why should I niche it down when I just want people to come to my house? But the issue is you're the more people that will say no to your property, mm-hmm. the better it will actually do. Because when you can be very, very clear about who your target audience is and set up an amazing experience for that target audience, there's one that's a very extreme example. And there's these sex cabins on Airbnb. They're some of the top performing cabins in certain areas.
Wow.
Don't want to necessarily give them like all kinds of
credit.
But what they have done is they've selected a very, very specific target audience.
Yeah.
99% of the people are going to say, no way, not going there, not doing that.
Right.
However, why is it then that they're some of the most successful properties? Mm. And it has nothing to do with the actual topic that that they're selling. Mm-hmm. It has to do that they were very specific about an audience. Mm-hmm. They set it up very specifically for this audience. I've showed you these mm-hmm. listings before. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are very specific. And they are on there, and they're some of the top performing properties because they selected a target audience, they created an experience for that audience, and they were okay with everybody saying, nope, I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. And yet they pull up and they're doing very, very well.
Yeah. Red Rooms. I don't even worry about that. Okay.
We won't post links to that just because we're trying to be a family friendly show. But my point of that is it is an extreme example,
right?
But that's marketing. It's mm-hmm. marketing 101. Mm-hmm. Be part of the target audience, create an experience for that target audience. Mm. We're talking about design today. Design is all about creating that immersive experience for that audience. Mm. And you should be part of that audience. You should understand that audience. You should be able to know what that audience is going to be attracted to. Mm-hmm. You should also know why people would say no to that. Right.
Okay. That really sets us up for going into this now. We're going to talk about kind of the difference in designers, if someone should do it themselves. And then what's the difference if you go with if you look at different designers, what's the difference between them? So first question is, should somebody design a property on their own? I feel like I know these answers, so I love asking these questions. Yeah.
this is hard because we know the type of design that works really, really well for this. It's a very much commercialized type of a design. Mm. It is very, very bold color theory, things that don't fit into traditional design, right? And so designers are very monochromatic. Everything's going to be very congruent. It's going to look beautiful. Think of, all of your big furniture brands or all of your major designers that you would see in furniture stores and things like model home type stuff, but just all your major big brand design that a lot of really good designers lean into. Mm-hmm. The type of design that we talk about and that we do and that we're investing in a design company right now, mm-hmm. partnering on one, and it is going to be Vodacy Design. It is not going to compete with anybody that is more traditional type of design. Now, when we talk to investors, and it's true. I don't want to say that there's not, like, it typically there will be if I talk to 10 investors and there are 10 couples, 5 of them are going to say, my wife is an amazing designer.
Wow. And 50%.
And they're going to say, we don't need help with that because she does an amazing job with design. Right. Her house looks beautiful.
Right.
She's helped some of her friends and family design their houses, and or they could be designers. There's some designers that we work closely with, and it is so night and day different on what we do with design versus traditional designers. It's not that they're not good at design in their own right.
Right.
It's not what we typically do.
Right.
We're using these really bold, we use color to evoke emotion and we use our design to evoke emotion. It's very much commercial like type of design is the best way that I can describe it.
Yeah.
What you're trying to do is take that target audience, take the experience of the property, take the experience of the area, and we're trying to create this immersive type of an experience where when they're there, they're basically, it's all part of the experience, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, the design is part of the experience, and it's not always attractive to somebody that is going to say, oh yeah, you like, we're not putting our design in a restoration hardware magazine. Right. And so do we use some of that furniture? Absolutely. Yeah, we do, but we don't, it's not designed like you would see it in their magazines or their showrooms or stuff like that, which is going to be more where traditional designers are leaning into. Mm. And it's not that it's not beautiful. It is. Mm-hmm. It's not that we're not saying that. We're saying, what are how are we using this to create a reason to be different, to create a reason for the consumer to feel like it's unique to them, it's personalized to them because we did select a target audience and we personalized this design. So, consumers pay for personalization more than anything. Mm-hmm. Then personalization is an element of being unique. Mm-hmm. That's why they pay for it, and different, right? Mm-hmm. And so those are the three things that consumers will pay you more for. Mm-hmm. And so if we know that, and we have this beautifully designed property that's on the beach, but it looks like traditional design, it's not unique, it's not personalized, and it's not different because there's a million other properties on the same beach with the same proximity. Everybody talks about get the best proximity. True. Mm-hmm. Proximity matters in this game to whatever you're going at. But your neighbors all have the same proximity.
Right.
And then if everybody has the same type of design, the consumer has no reason to differentiate. And the reason, and when you don't give that consumer a reason, then there's no reason for them to pay you more. Right. They're saying, okay, well, right. who can give me the best price, you know, right. on this row of houses? Mm. And when it comes down to personalization, that's the number one thing we will pay more for as a consumer. Mm. And so if I select a target audience and they're interested in this specific thing and I create this experience for them and my design is part of that, when they look at it, it feels personalized, right? It feels, it checks the personalization box off in the consumer's mind. So we're different, we're unique, and now we're also personal. Right. And so, and that's why my example of the cabins earlier, it's, you know, these are unique. They're different, but they're also very personalized to a specific audience, right?
Yeah,
and they're so the more you can do that, the more you can command higher prices because you're basically competing in a category of one. So think about that when you're designing these homes is how can I create this immersive experience and make it unique, personalized, and different?
Yeah.
And they're all kind of elements of each other.
Well, I think 100%, I love that. And I think that another portion that we really got to hit on is, or this is not shade to those 50% that are saying like, oh, no, they could definitely do it.
My wife's no.
There's no shade. No. But I think we love Tom at PBD. Was it Words Talk, Numbers Scream?
Words Talk, Numbers Scream.
So exactly. this is an investment decision. This is to try and get your most amount of money. This is not a shade of saying, oh, we're a lot better and you don't know what you're doing. But no, this is just to help you try and get the most amount of return.
Right.
Now let's go into this. There's a lot of designers. We've got tons of people DMing us wanting to design for us. Everyone kind of has maybe a little bit different style or different way of looking at things. But I mean, have you noticed that some designers really lean into painting and or murals or wallpaper more? Or, well, you know, what kind of is, have you noticed some big differences in designers at all?
Yeah, for the most part, traditional designers all have very congruent elements in their design that kind of blend in. Mm. The problem is that's the biggest issue is they all kind of blend in.
Right.
Many are using wallpapers, you know, mural type stuff or the wallpaper murals, if you will, and being able to create like where they're making it these scenes, right? They're just setting, you know, and they look great. They there's nothing like you're saying. There's no shade being thrown here other than the fact of saying, if you are considering this, understand that your neighbor's doing the exact same thing. Right. And when your neighbor is designing the exact same way or elements of the same way, it doesn't stand out in the consumer's mind. And so you have this massive investment and it's, you know, it can be big, right? Mm-hmm. When you're picking beautiful properties and you're hiring professional designers and they're doing this, ultimately it looks great, but so does your neighbors.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to say is how can we be different and lean into something that a lot of people aren't leaning into and are not willing to lean into. You know how many designers we talk to about some of our Vodacy design stuff and they refuse to do it. They don't want to do it. They're like, hey, it's not me. It makes them cringe as a designer.
Right.
Like, I'm not a designer. I'm an investor. I'm just trying to get the best return on these investments.
Right.
Now, the interesting part, my wife is very much like a monochromatic design, very minimalist type design. It looks, our houses look beautiful. People love them. But they wouldn't operate very well as a short-term rental. We would never design our short-term rentals like that. Now, the first time we did this, was very resistant. She's like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I mean, do what you're going to do. That's your business, you know, but I'm not really liking it, right? I don't really like the bold colors. I don't really like this, the contrast and all that stuff. Until she went and stayed in it. And she's like, this is pretty fun.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do this in my house, but I like this. This is pretty fun. So now she loves it for what we use it for, right? For a short-term rental and for that experience. And so even somebody that is attracted to a different type of design can still wrap their head around it when they experience it.
Right. Well, yeah, we're playing to win here, man.
The consumer is going to judge with their pocketbook, period. The consumers are – it's not – if it didn't work, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. The consumer judges you by their pocketbook and their credit card and says, I'm willing to pay you this or I'm not willing to.
Right.
I mean, markets are markets.
I love it. All right, let's go into this. This is kind of – now I'm going to kind of do like a weird snaky kind of question here, so be ready for this one.
Okay, let's go.
someone's listening to this and they go, you know, I really fall in line with Teresa, your wife, and I like this, the simple. And since I know that audience, I'm part of that target audience, then I'm going to create a house like that. I'm going to create a very minimalistic black and white house. Well, I mean, they're kind of now that's they're falling down that target audience, that that's going to be their kind of thing they lean into. Is that still wise to do?
Here's the problem.
Okay.
Is go look in the market. Whatever market you're buying a property in, go look and see if you're finding properties like that in your market. Now, if you're not, maybe you can lean into it. You know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, pre-COVID, we were putting out model homes and they were doing really well because everybody else had grandma's cabin that was furnished mm-hmm. at a yard sale, mm-hmm. right? And then model right. homes really stood out. They were different, right?
Right.
And so the bar continues to raise or mm-hmm. rise in almost all of these markets. So if you're in a major market, what you're going to find is mm-hmm. that style that you're attracted to has probably been overdone in mm-hmm. that market already. Now, maybe not. If you're in a market that is maybe a little bit smaller and nobody's really doing it, you could probably go that direction. And it becomes, you're probably not going to have much of a personalized feel to your property, but you're going to have a very, maybe a unique or different feel. And those are still two of the three checkboxes that the consumer is willing to pay more for. And so, but the issue is that's easier to copy. It's easier for people to do because there's, you know, a bunch of designers that will do this at this stage, right? And that type of design. And so, you know, can you get away with it? Go judge it based on looking at the market. Go right. look at the top properties in your market. See right. what you're competing against. Most of your major markets, they're going to be very professionally designed, beautiful homes.
Right. Okay. I love it. Let's go into this one now. Indoor versus outdoor spaces. I feel like there's been kind of a, maybe, I don't know if it's recently, but a more of a push to really make sure that your outdoor space is like top notch. Maybe you got a pool, a sauna, a hot tub, putting green, pickleball court. Maybe you have all of it, right? How should the design of the outdoor space work with the indoor space? Should you really focus on outdoor more? Or could you focus more on indoor and more?
Yeah, it's a really good question and one that's hard to answer.
Okay.
Both are important, very important. And okay. so, like, where should you spend all of your money? The right. biggest problem with short-term rental investors, especially somebody that's trying to create like an immersive type of an experience, they hear us talk about it. They're like, awesome, I found this person. Yeah. And in fact, we had a member send us, hey, I got this person. They're going to do this and this and this. And we they look at these photos of these properties that they can do. And here's our budget. Well, their budget only got them one room done. Right. And so, and it would be a really cool room. And we looked at their entire portfolio of who they were really excited about. Person was a designer, a contractor, a property manager, a realtor, kind of like, first of all, that should maybe be your red flag, maybe, but it was a major market. They had some really cool properties that had really cool rooms in it or really cool, maybe backyard amenities, but the rest of the house was really bland. And so you have to make sure that your budget can be a congruent and equitable experience throughout the property. Who's going to get the really cool Star Wars room and everybody else gets nothing, right? And that's what these properties were. And that's what they're thinking that they wanted to do because the one room was going to be awesome. And they're like, well, we'll highlight that. Well, you can highlight that. The issue becomes everybody else is disappointed, right? These are 5 and 6 bedroom homes and you're doing one room. Oof. Now, if you're just going to do one thing, I would suggest the outside because everybody can share in there, right? And so you don't take away from the kind of the equitable experience inside. However, I really suggest you be able to do and spread it out throughout. Okay. And that's one of the biggest things that we try to do here at Vodacy and Vodacy Design is trying to say, hey, listen, we are going to make sure that we need to get a return on this, right?
Yeah.
It's really easy for me to sit behind a microphone and tell you to go invest in a resort style backyard or invest in these crazy immersive built-ins and the light up and do neon backlights and do this and that and the other. And all of a sudden you blow $300,000 on one room in a backyard. Right. And it's going to raise your revenue potential $30,000 a year. And you're like, man, that's a 10-year payback. We don't do that. Yeah. We really have to be very, very diligent about, we can say all of this stuff. You have to get a return on this.
Right.
And so it starts with saying, hey, listen, what is the numbers? How do I spread a realistic budget, right? Where our budgets really are basically the same budget as what we would budget to furnish a property with any sort, with any designer. Right. We actually are going to be less most of the time when we're doing that, to create these immersive experiences because we're investors. We need a return on this investment. I want a 2 or 3 year payback maximum. Once I start talking about a 5 or 7 year payback, that's the useful life of a lot of this stuff, right? By the, you might be refurnishing 7 years from now. And so I need to be able to do this with a very like short payback. And that's one thing that is almost never talked about. We don't hear that all the time. When we look at these plans and these suggestions from some of these places that do amazing resort style backyards and they do amazing, cool, like immersive type of rooms. The issue is the budget and the revenue you're going to make on it, they don't match up,
right?
If I'm going to spend $500,000 on creating this crazy experience, I'm not really adding a ton of value to the house. I'm just trying to get extra revenue and I'm not getting a one-to-one return as a value add to the property because most of this does not. And then ultimately all it does is add value to what I can charge the consumer and I'm going to, it's going to take me 10 years to get paid back. It's not a good investment. And we see it over and over again. I've seen 15, 20 year paybacks on some of this stuff. Is it awesome? Yeah. Are they going to get more money? Yeah, but not enough to get a payback in a short period of time.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. Okay. If somebody has the money, if someone has a, like a lot of excess money, would they be more willing to dump in that $500,000 for a bunch of random stuff just to use it for taxes at the end of the year? Would that be a reason they do it? I mean, I'm not saying it's smart to do
I don't think it's smart. Okay. No. I mean, yeah, like that's okay. That's the issue with a lot of these short-term rental contractors. Excuse me. Bleep that out. Okay, sure. You don't have to bleep it out. Yeah. I don't care. So anyways, but the you've got all these contractors, short-term rental investors or companies that are saying, hey, listen, you've got the budget. We'll put it in the property. It's going to be amazing. We're going to get it done. Right. You're going to have a huge tax savings. At the end of the day, maybe you get that nice tax savings. Maybe you got a discount on all that. You still have to say, am I getting a return on that investment? Right? Am I, as an investor, making a smart decision on where this money is going? Is it maybe some of it is a value add to the property? Possibly, possibly not. Like I would much rather spend money on things that are adding value to this property, not just increasing my revenue potential. Because sometimes investors are overlooking the fact that you might be putting $300,000-$400,000 into this property and you only gave a value add to the property of maybe 50, 60 grand because you really didn't, none of the stuff that you invested in, it's not adding value to the property. There's, it's not like you redid your kitchen. It's not like you, you know, put new cabinets in. It's not like you did, you know, new bathrooms or whatever. You're just, you're investing into things that are, look really cool.
Right.
But to a retail buyer, or, you know, does the retail buyer want to have, you know, all the built-in bedrooms that are Star Wars people popping out from every one of them or whatever, right? Like they're going to be highly thematic and the retail buyer is probably like, I just want the bunk bed for my kid, right? In there. And so I'm not going to add a lot of value there.
All right. That makes total sense. Let's go into finding the budget for design. Okay. Is there, you go off square foot. Is that correct? Okay. So the best way to, how would you calculate just the square foot by, is it a certain amount of dollar per square foot?
Yeah. I would say if you're budgeting, like the easiest way to budget is price per square foot. You can get a pretty immersive setup experience, furnish a property. All the hard case goods, your bedroom, your beds, your TVs, your, your you know, all of your case goods, your electronics, your accessories for about $45 a foot.
Okay.
And that's customized artwork that's creating an immersive experience. It's doing all that stuff. You know, and you go talk to a designer, they're going to, you're going to be close to that to get a design, a fully designed house with, you know, some nice wallpaper and some murals. You're going to be there or more. And, you know, so you have to say, okay, like that's what where we budget at. We're not budgeting, you know, $400,000-$500,000, you know, budgets on creating these immersive experiences. And when you start to really look at the price per square foot that you're investing and spending, you shouldn't be spending a whole lot more than that. Now, if you start doing some of the, like you put pickleball courts in, you're putting pools in, you're putting some of those big time amenities that are a little more expensive, that's not going to come into that $45 a foot range. But you can do some really nice a really nice design, immersive experience with a couple nice amenities for that $45 a foot range.
Okay.
Now, and you know, can you extend that? Absolutely. There are some properties that you can get a, you know, you can spend $65 a foot and get a year or two payback on it. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's property by property and market by market on what the consumer's willing to spend more on.
Mm. I love it. Okay. I'm going to ask this because I feel like this is like keywords. Like people love these words. What about some hidden fees? Is there anything that you notice that people don't budget for enough or anything hidden?
On design?
Yeah.
Yeah, design is very designers make money in a few different places.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So a lot of designers buy furniture at wholesale values and there's a massive markup on furniture and then they sell them at retail. And so maybe they get kickbacks from the furniture places. So they make money on the markup on furniture. A lot of times what they do is they don't have very transparent design fees in there. Like what are they really charging for design? Right.
Oh, and okay.
So like a lot of times their design is baked into the overall budget. It's like, hey, listen, I told you I could do this property for $100,000 and it's not really broken down. So if you're okay with that, no problem. You look at the designer, you trust them, and you like what they're doing, and you look at their portfolio and you say, yep, for $100,000, that was what you did in this one. I'm good with that.
Right.
That's fine. Other people are like, hey, I want to see it all. I want to see a breakdown of my cost of goods. I want to see labor. I want to see your fees in there, all of that stuff.
Right.
And that's how we operate. It's not very typical in the design world to operate like that. So you have to it's communication up front.
Right.
What do you want to see? Is the designer, is that how they do business? If it's not how they do business, you probably aren't going to change how they do business. Right. You might have to find somebody else. But you want to have a good experience throughout.
Mm.
And transparency is always important, but you got to ask for it. You got to say, hey, listen, what are you paying? And don't make the mistake of when you see the fees that they're charging or, you know, the markups that maybe they make, you have to realize you're not able to get furniture at wholesale, right? These designers are able to do that. And so they might not charge you a lot of fees because they know they could make money on the furniture. You know, as a consumer, maybe you're okay with that. And maybe you should be okay with that. Compare it to what you can actually go buy it for,
right?
If they can buy a Restoration Hardware sofa that sells for $10,000 and they can get it for three, and then they mark it up to six, that's still $4,000 cheaper than you can go buy it for, right? And somebody gets upset with them for doubling the price on what they bought it for.
Right.
I'm not so sure that's a fair assessment. I think that a lot of people try to dictate what somebody makes.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of that either. Make sure it works. Make sure the overall cost makes sense for you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of different fees. There's a lot of, because you've got design fees. You've got, if you're going to have any sort of installation fees, you've got receiving fees, you've got furniture upgrades and, you know, markups on furniture. There's a lot of different places where that, you know, the design company can be making some money, and there's other places where it's just passed through. It's just an expense and you can know that going into it, or you can just say, hey, listen, I just want my design done. Yeah. Here's my budget, my price per square foot. And that's how a lot of designers work. They're just like, hey, listen, what's your price per square foot? Oh. Yeah, I can do this level of design and quality for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll tackle it. And everybody's happy at the end of the day because you have a great property.
Mm.
Other people are different. They're like, I want to see every spreadsheet. I want to see every line item. I want to see every receipt. Mm. And ultimately, does that work for you? And if you want that, you got to find a designer that's willing to work that way.
Mm, I love it. Okay, let's kind of go into how we help our members. I mean, there's a lot of things, and I kind of want to just touch on each one of these. You and Mike have spent a lot of time, and maybe some other people, I don't want to leave them out, on beds. Let's go into that. That's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about the Modesty Sleep System?
Yeah, one of the most overlooked, in my opinion, pieces of furniture is your mattress. It's talked about and it's briefed over a lot of saying, hey, you got to select the right mattress. However, it's hard. If you've ever gone to a furniture store and laid on a bunch of mattresses and you're like, I mean, they all start feeling about the same.
Yeah.
They all feel decent. You're like, I mean, which one
some
do
dude
I?
Some dude standing over you.
Yeah.
Watching.
Which one do you choose? Which one do you not choose?
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
However, it is one of the most judged mm-hmm. aspects of your home is going to be the guest, the quality of sleep that they mm-hmm. have. And so Mike and I took almost a year and a half, really doing a lot of research, doing a mm-hmm. lot of different like testing of saying, hey, listen, how can we get the perfect mattress system? Right. Mm-hmm. And how can we get something that people can just, they like, you don't have to think about it. You can mm-hmm. just get it and it's affordable, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to spend right. a decent amount of money. For mattresses, decent yeah. mattresses really start around that $2,000 to $5,000 mark mm-hmm. Before you even start to consider what you should probably be buying. And mm-hmm. lots of people are putting those $400 to $800 mattresses in, and they just don't work well. Yeah. You just don't get a good night's rest.
Yeah.
And as a consumer, that's how we want a good night's rest. Mm-hmm. And so you're getting judged on it. It doesn't show up in your photos. It doesn't show up on anything, but it starts to show up in your reviews, and it yeah. starts to show up on repeat customers. Mm-hmm. And so we really suggest investing into premium mattresses. Mm-hmm. But investing in premium mattresses can be hard because right. if you got a, you know, you got a 5-bedroom house and, you know, 3 of the rooms have bunk beds and everything else, all of a mm-hmm. sudden, you end up buying 12 to 15 mattresses, it can add up. Mm-hmm. And you need a quality mattress in all of them. That starts to add up if you're right. in that $3,000 to $5,000 range, right?
Yeah.
And so we went and developed what we call the Vodacy Sleep System. Mm-hmm. And we have custom mattresses. We're one of the largest distributors of mattresses in the US because mm-hmm. of our Vodacy footprint and portfolio. But it makes it really easy because of our collective buying power, we went mm-hmm. in and we're able to pass on some significant savings where most of our mattresses, our top end mattresses are $1,000, and they're equivalent to wow. those $3,000 to $4,000 mattresses that wow. you would get that are premium mattresses. And we just get them at those wholesale prices. We just pass that stuff on.
Wow.
And so for people that are interested, obviously our Vodacy family has access to our Vodacy sleep system, mm-hmm. but it is, even if you don't, you really have to take the mattress selection seriously and not just worry about trying to save money, but mm. that can eat into a significant portion of your budget if you just throw a bunch of money at mattresses as well, because right. you have to be very diligent about what type of a mattress, and it has to, you know, it can't be too soft, it can't be too hard, right. you have to consider right. your target audience, and mm-hmm. there's a lot that goes into mattress selection.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I'm just thinking about it, man. Like even the target audience that we came up with at the very beginning of this episode, like a couple get away and they can't sleep. That sucks.
Oh.
Or like a family going to Disneyland in Orlando and they come back and they can't sleep. That sucks.
Yeah.
Or whatever you're targeting, and you're out in the mountains, you're hiking, you can't sleep. That I mean, that's a huge thing.
Right.
That's huge. All right, let's go into.
One of the reasons we're one of the largest distributors in the mm-hmm. U.S. is because our guests like our mattresses so much, we sell them, right? They can yeah. go order them and they can buy them and they can get them delivered to their house.
That's wild.
And so it's pretty crazy. So it ends up being, hey, they like it so much
yeah.
that they're like, where can we get these? Mm-hmm. And so we pass that on to our mm-hmm. guests.
All right, let's talk about the Amazon basics a little bit. When we're designing, you know, some people may spend a lot of money on these big furniture pieces, yeah. but we found a way to do it at a cheaper cost to our members who have access to this, correct?
Right.
You can furnish your properties with this furniture at a way cheaper cost because we have worked and built out this whole list for you to choose from.
Yeah.
Right. Is that
yeah.
the Amazon basic?
Yeah. And we've got we love Amazon, right? Right. And so it's understanding.
Yeah. Come on.
Where should we throw money at certain things? Like mm. where do we need to spend money for premium products, premium like quality of mm. stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So we've identified that over the years. Mm. And then where can we go buy more commodity type stuff, right?
Right.
And not that Amazon's just a commodity. There's some premium stuff on Amazon yeah. that we have as a list as well. But we have an essential items checklist, and you just literally go into a shopping cart and it's like, hey, listen, I need this room, here's my color scheme in here, and this is the size of it, and it's like, here's your sheets, here's your beds, here's your throws, here's your booths, wow. here's your curtains.
Wow.
Like you go into a kitchen or something and you're furnishing your kitchen, and so you have to know where to, but I'll like, where do we want to spend that extra money?
Mm-hmm.
Where can we just go get like regular stuff
mm-hmm.
and ultimately save ourselves a decent amount of money? But it feels like we're spending, like I said, $45 a foot, for example, mm-hmm. furnishing a property. It feels like I spent $80 or $90 a foot. It feels like right. I spent double that because of our collective buying power, but also being able to understand where to skimp and where to just get kind of basic stuff. Mm-hmm. And then where do we want to really buy the premium stuff?
Right. You know, that makes total sense. I love it. Now let's go in. Last one here. Joining Vodacy. Hmm? We talked about design this whole time, but if you join, you get access to the award-winning, the top of the line designer. I feel like that's probably the most important out of this whole thing. We can talk about design and people can learn about design. They can go through if you go to the Vodacy website, you can look at our amazing properties underneath success stories tab. You can look at tons of them. You can listen and you can read and you can watch and you can do whatever you want about design, but having access to the person that you can talk to one-on-one that's going to help you walk through this is huge, yeah. Right? I mean,
yeah, and we don't, you know, this isn't the big sales pitch or promotion, but the reality is our Vodacy signature recipe comes with, there's a lot of things that are put into that, mm-hmm. and, you know, our designers is one of them, and they do an amazing job, and you're not mm-hmm. going to have access to them without being part of our group because they're booked out, right? They're exclusive to our group. They don't, that's a good and a bad thing, right? It kind of gives us that competitive advantage, the buying power, the collective buying power that we have within Vodacy that we're able to pass on to our members. Mattresses is a great example. Mm-hmm. You know, you're paying $1,000 for $4,000 mattresses. Mm-hmm. I mean, shipped, delivered, right? And so that collective buying power is one of the huge advantages within Vodacy. And mm-hmm. it's not just with stuff like mattresses. It also is with experts, right? CPAs, designers, photographers. I mean, we've got the best lifestyle photographers in the business, period, hands down. Not even close, right? And mm-hmm. to really bring this stuff to life and articulate what you have. And you're just not going to find them outside of Vodacy. Mm. And partly why they get so good is they're able to, they've got enough business with our membership group to really continue to raise the bar. And we just keep doubling down and doubling down. And a lot of people outside of the Vodacy family that are not plugged into that recipe mm-hmm. may or may not even want to invest in that. And they don't even really understand why they would at certain points do that. And so it becomes, mm-hmm. you know, exclusive experts, but also kind of, you know, that collective buying power and exclusive access to deals that just, mm-hmm. you're just not going to be able to go negotiate those same type of deals because you just don't have the footprint.
Mm, I love it. Well, if you want to join webinars, Tuesdays and Thursdays,
webinar,
you
can hop on. Go check out the webinar.
You can book a call, link below. Send us an email, support@vodacy.com. Get connected. Yeah. Join us.
None of them are, you can't go on and just click and pay and join, right? The Vodacy is very much set up as an invitation only type of a group, right? Yeah. Not because we're trying to keep people out. It's, hey, we want to make sure that this is going to be the right fit for you. So go check out the webinar. Mm-hmm. You've listened to the podcast. Email us at support. You mm-hmm. want to get on my calendar. We'll have a chat. Make mm-hmm. sure it's the right fit for you. We'll strategize about what you're trying to do.
Right.
And then try to point you in that right direction.
Love it. All right, man. Let's go into our 6 rapid fire family feud questions. You ready, dude?
All right.
All right, here we go.
So I'm just answering.
No, I don't know if you may not like these. So if you don't, we can skip it. We only got 6. Here we go. You ready? Lightning round. What's more important, designing the living room or bedrooms?
Ooh, bedroom.
Do guests care more about comfort or Instagram moments?
Comfort.
What design mistake instantly tells you an owner designed for themselves, not the guest?
Looks like just like a model home. I mean,
okay. Yeah. What's more important, durability or aesthetics?
Ooh, it's gotta be both. You have to have durable.
Okay.
Right? But it's gotta fit into
the design. The kids gotta want to get in the bed and maybe be able to jump on and not break it. I love it. Okay. What's the biggest difference between hotel design and lifestyle asset design?
Ooh, good question. So the majority of hotels are very sterile, mm-hmm. right? They're very...
Sterile is a good word.
They pick a very, like a very congruent, sterile type of a design.
Evokes no emotion.
Yeah. Very seldom. I mean, outside of like your Disney's and some of your mm-hmm. boutique hotel brands, most of them are just going to be very sterile. Mm-hmm. Lifestyle type design is going to be very immersive, right? Think about like I'm bringing it to life. Like it's a very immersive type of design.
Mm, I love it. If a property isn't booking well, what's the first design change you look at?
The experience. Like an immersive experience. Are we creating any sort of an experience with our design? Are we highlighting any sort of experience, right? Are we bringing to life anything within that property or that area with our design?
I love it. All right, those are my six, but let me say this as well. I'm going to put a link in the bio in the description, probably be the first one to our website so people can click it and immediately go look at some of these properties that we're talking about. You can look for yourself. If you click on the picture, it'll take you right to the Airbnb link. You can look at how these rooms are designed, the outdoor living spaces. You can see it all, exactly what we're talking about. And I may throw some pictures along if you're watching, and then you'll just see throughout the episode here. But go look at these properties. See what we're talking about, you know?
Yeah. And always remember, the devil's in the details, right? It's the small details that matter, and the congruency and the consistency throughout. When we look at these properties, look at every single room, and you'll notice a very equitable experience. It doesn't matter what bedroom you go into our properties. Everybody's getting a great experience.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You know, we're not just – and then go look at some really cool designs on other properties that you might find online. Then they go look at the entire listing and see if they took that throughout, right? Those are details that matter to the consumer.
Right.
It's like we said, you know, who's getting Star Wars and sleeping with Luke Skywalker and rather than the model home that everybody else gets. The black and
gray. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, that's it. That's all we have for today. Short and sweet episode.
Awesome, guys. We will wrap it up. We appreciate you spending your time with us. As always, if you like these conversations, share the show. Those things help us a lot, and we very, very much appreciate it. If you don't know anybody to share it with, like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on, and the algorithm will share it with other people like you, and those things are also very appreciated. So finally, most important thing, start of the week, midweek, I guess, we're on that hump day. Yep, we always recorded this right before Wednesday, so it feels like start of the week for us.
Oh, dude. What? And if you're one of our members and you're listening to this on your way to Tampa,
we're excited to see you there, guys. Wednesday, we're going to be
on flights. Safe travels, everybody.
Yeah, we're going to be hanging out in Tampa for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Excited to see you guys. Yep.
So those of you that are going to be there, looking forward to it. Those of you that aren't, we're going to miss you.
Yep.
And we challenge you to pick that one thing you can do today, start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.